Lord, I know them and they follow me. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. On a certain Sabbath, Jesus went into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man there whose right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely to see if he would cure on the Sabbath, so that they might discover a reason to accuse him. But he realized their intentions and said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up and stand before us." And he rose and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil, to save life rather than destroy it?" Looking around at them all, he said to him, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was restored. But they became enraged and discussed together what they might do to Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. Can human suffering be a good thing? Is there any value in our pain and our woes? Our first reaction is to say, obviously not. After all, our entire healthcare system is designed to alleviate pain, to mitigate suffering. And we Christians even pray for those who are suffering, they may be healed and made whole. To say there might be something good in pain seems counterintuitive and maybe even a little cruel. But what about suffering that cannot be stopped or shortened or stemmed? That is suffering that is out of our control. Well, I would suggest to you that hidden in those seeds of suffering are the grains of greatness. Suffering can sometimes bring out the best in us. Today is the 16th anniversary of September 11th, 2001, when the United States suffered the worst terrorist attack on American soil. That evening, President George W. Bush said this, "Today, our nation saw evil, the very worst of human nature, and we responded with the best of America." He went on, "With the daring of our rescue workers, with the caring for strangers and neighbors who came to give blood and help in any way they could." We've seen the same reaction, by the way, to the uncontrolled suffering in the wake of the recent hurricanes in Texas and in Florida. In other words, when we see the seeds of suffering in others, the grains of greatness burst into bloom in us, in heroic acts of love of neighbor. In the first reading today, St. Paul senses this same value of human suffering. He says somewhat mysteriously, "Brothers and sisters, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church." Again, this seems a little counterintuitive, almost cruel. But St. Paul sees some real good in his sufferings, his own aches and pains and afflictions. Because when they are united to Jesus' suffering on the cross, they attain eternal value. Like President Bush saw on 9/11, So St. Paul hopes his sufferings will inspire the Christians at Colossae, the Colossians, to love their neighbors at a heroic height, even to loving the Gentiles with caring for strangers and neighbors who came to give blood and any help, and help in any way they could. St. Paul saw suffering for the good of the body of Christ, just like President Bush saw suffering for the good of the body politic. The seeds of suffering sometimes contain the grains of greatness. My friends, what do you do when you cannot shorten or stem or stop human suffering? We may cry to the heavens that God is unjust and uncaring to allow it. Or we can see the seeds of suffering to become the grains of greatness in us. I remember how much my parents sacrificed to send me and my brother and my sister to Catholic schools. And that made me study twice as hard. Their suffering made me want to be great in school. Yesterday after Mass, I met a family from Marco Island, Florida, who sought refuge with a family here in Fort Smith. Their suffering made our parishioners great in hospitality. It's amazing how our whole parish responds to appeals to help the poor and the suffering again and again and again. The seeds of their suffering make the grains of greatness grow in us. On December 8th, 1941, the day after the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, President Roosevelt gave another speech about suffering. He said, "Hostilities exist. Hostilities exist. There is no blinking at the fact that our people, our territory, and our interests are in grave danger. With confidence in our armed forces and with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph. So help us God." But FDR wasn't the only one who saw what results this suffering would have. So did the Japanese general Yamamoto, who said, "I fear all we have done is to awaken a sleeping giant and fill him with a terrible resolve." That is the only good of suffering, to awaken us to be giants, not of war, but of love. Praised be Jesus Christ.